The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, a little bit rainy Beltway today on this Friday. Hope you're ready for a good weekend wherever you are. Let me do a quick review of the biggest stories of the day. Michael Reinhold, the suspect in the Portland shooting, Antifa member, killed by law enforcement as he resisted arrest and drew on U.S. Marshals last night. The Pfizer boss, one of America's biggest pharmaceuticals, says not to worry, they are not bringing to market any vaccine unless it's safe. We saw some Joe Biden supporters begin to suggest yesterday that the FDA was going to run through an unsafe virus vaccine. And Albert Bourla said the U.S. drug maker would never submit any vaccine for authorization before it was safe and effective. And by the way, that's just common sense. No one will do that. Let me also cover, we're going to get unemployment numbers later, maybe an hour or three during the Hillsdale dialogue. I will tell you about them. It's likely to decline. We don't know how much in August. But we had a big market sell-off yesterday. The president called it profit-taking. That's what I wish I'd taken some profits because the only stock I own is Amazon. It went down, you know, $160, but I didn't because I don't sell and buy. I'm not a trader. But the traders decided they would swoop in and take a lot of profit. What's it look like this morning? This is brought to you by Birch Gold. All right. So remember, if you had gold yesterday, gold went up. Gold went up to $1,945.80. Gold usually acts inverse to the market. And it's been hanging around in the 1900s for a long time, looking to break out above 2000. Birch Gold helps you diversify, put gold in your portfolio via your 401k or your IRA by taking 10 to 25% of that and rolling it over into physical metals. Go to HughGold.com. That's what I recommend, along with thousands of five-star reviews, HughGold.com. Or you can just text my name, Hugh, to 474747. They will send you an info kit. I bought Birch Gold last week, added to my gold because the stocks were getting so high, so I diversified a little bit, but I didn't sell any stocks. I sold some cash and got some gold and put it in the safety deposit box because that's diversification. Think about it. HughGold.com. How bad was it yesterday? The Dow went down 807 points, which is almost, 2.78% to be specific. NASDAQ went down 598 points, which is an almost 5% sell-off. And the S&P went down 125. Amazon, as I said, went down $163, mirroring the Dow, down 4.63%. I expect everything to be rebounding today, but I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and it's a morning show, so I don't predict. I will tell you that overseas, though, in Great Britain, the market is up 0.78%, and the German market's up 0.5%. That's because that was, as the president said, profit-taking. Unemployment numbers matter a lot more than market up and down. Other big story of the day before I turn to Joe Biden, if you're watching on Facebook, on my YouTube channel, or on Instagram, I am holding up Byron York's new book, Obsession. You may remember I gave him a hard time earlier this week about I hadn't gotten it. It was delivered yesterday, and I spent an hour last night. You should see my first chapter, heavily annotated, on James Comey and the setup of the president. Comey may escape John Durham. He might not be indicted by John Durham. He will never escape obsession. Byron York rolls him over with a steamroller. Jim Comey is a bad guy. He's a bad cop. A very bad cop. And the details and the specifics are here. And they tried to take out Trump from the day he entered office. It is shameful. I hope Durham indicts the bunch of them. Because this is shameful. And the book to get it from is Obsession. And if you've got some lefty in your life that you love and is obsessed with hating Trump, send them Obsession. Just go online. It's at pubs next week. So I got the advance copy, pre-order, because it's going to sell out. And then they'll reprint it and they'll sell some more. But get Obsession, get five copies, give it to every lefty. It could change the election if people read the first chapter, just the first chapter, and what a bad guy Comey was, how he tried to set up the president. Obsession, Inside the Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump by Byron York. All right, now let's get to Joe Biden. I got a lot of Joe Biden tape because press tried to cover this up. He had a disastrous visit to Kenosha yesterday. Cut number one first.
There is not a single solitary reason in the world why, as I said, we shouldn't be in a position that everybody, and that's my wife, Jill. Hey, Jill, I'm Jill's husband, actually.
Squirrel.
But, I guess I should cut to the chase here.
We're in a... You know, he sounds bad because he's wearing a mask, maybe. I mean, he is wearing a mask. But it does sound like the guy in the ER who's on oxygen. Then he went to a church in Kenosha. By the way, can we show the pictures of the crowd outside the church in Kenosha? Can you put that up on my stream, please? They're not ready. Harley and Ben are barely awake. There's a picture of the church that Joe Biden attended and the massive crowd that showed up. I guess we're not going to show it.
No, we're putting it up. Hang on.
They're really awake there at the production studio. There's my logo. There it is. If you're looking, there are 12 people there greeting Joe Biden. Now, across the street, if you're looking across the street, you're going to see the media. Can we put up that picture? Apparently not. But, yeah, there's the media. There are more media there than there are people to greet Joe Biden. Let's do a compare and contrast. Here's the crowd that greeted Donald Trump last week. Yes, there you go. Reince Priebus was on last night, Fox News, with Jason Chaffetz. Here's what he said. And Reince is from Kenosha. Cut number 20.
Well, first of all, you're right. The president actually had business in Kenosha because he was part of the federal response to restore order in Kenosha. Joe Biden has nothing in Kenosha other than he's running for president. But I lived in Kenosha my entire life. My parents still live in Kenosha. I can tell you without any exaggeration, from Waukegan, Illinois to Kenosha, Wisconsin, it was about a 25-minute drive. I have never in my life seen the outpouring of support, not just tacit support, but wild, off-the-charts support for this president. And it was about 99% to 1. This is a 65% Democrat town, and all they want to do is, and these signs saying, thank you for saving our town. People need to realize, a week ago, Kenosha was burning down. And people were putting their kids, no exaggeration, in their basements while dad was sitting in the kitchen with their hunting rifles, not knowing who was going to come through the front door. Things have changed in the field. This issue of law and order is real. And if you look at what the president's talking about, you look at what the Democrats are talking about, defunding the police, kneeling for the national anthem, suspending seasons of the NBA and not playing sports, not putting the kids in school. This election is coming down to freedom and how we want to live as Americans. And Kenosha is the example of it all.
Ryan's Priebus on fire last night. I had to call Ryan Sepp afterward. Meanwhile, Joe Biden went to a church, and this is what he said at the church. Cut number two.
It'll be a whole heck of a lot better. We'll move a lot further down the road. People fear that which is different. We got to, for example, why in God's name don't we teach history in history classes? A black man invented the light bulb, not a white guy named Edison. Okay? There's so much. Did anybody know before what recently happened? That Black Wall Street in Oklahoma was burned to the ground? Anybody know these things? We act because we don't teach them. We got to give people facts. Teach them what's out there. The idea. I just spent time with a number of the NFL players and basketball players, including Steph Curry. You know, these folks are making a difference now. It's not about fame and glory.
What in the world is he talking about? Thomas Edison, the NBA, NFL. By the way, I don't think a black guy invented the light bulb. I'll do a fact check during the break. It's poor Joe Biden. Stay tuned, America. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America 2. I hope you like the bump I picked there. About light. Look, Thomas Edison did invent the light bulb. Louis Latimer's a smart guy. Got a lot of patents, including a filament that came along after the light bulb. But Joe got fact-checked already by like a million people, and he just made that up. It was pandering. Joe said a black guy invented the light bulb, not a white guy named Edison. That's just not true at Grace Lutheran Church. I don't know why the vice president thinks he needs to pander. He could talk about Latimer and really, really extol Louis Latimer. He created a lot of things, but he didn't create a light bulb. He created an improved filament, which he got a patent for, but the light bulb is indeed Edison's. And that doesn't diminish Latimer being a genius. It just means Joe Biden isn't. By the way, the book, I got email. What was the book? Honest to goodness. Obsession. People think it's a perfume. I think it might have been a perfume one. Obsession by Byron York. I will tweet it out. Let's go back to Joe Biden because he was just not on key yesterday. I don't know if he's ever going to get on key. Cut number three.
I don't want to punish anybody, but everybody should pay a fair share. And I can lay out for you. I won't now because he'll shoot me. But here's the deal. I pay for every single thing I'm proposing without raising your taxes one penny.
I think, you know, you really ought to be a little more sensitive in a church than saying my tax plan, they'll shoot me. Okay, cut number four. He didn't like the questioner.
We've also learned, and I'll end with this. I know you're getting too antsy. Sit down, man.
No, I get it.
Okay.
How do
but
I do
here,
that?
Here's
right?
the
How
last
do I
thing.
Stop that?
But this is important. Here's the deal. If you think about it, we've finally figured out drug abuse doesn't cause mental health problems. Mental health problems cause drug abuse.
You know that you can hold two thoughts, like Hillary Clinton said. Mental illness might lead to drug abuse, and drug abuse might lead to mental illness. It's actually both. Not either. Cut number five, Joe really works himself up on the president. Cut number five.
And I said, don't tell me things can't change. And I told the story and pointed, reminded him what it was when I was a young attorney. And but I made a mistake about something. I thought you could defeat hate. Hate only hides. It only hides. And when someone in authority breathes oxygen under that rock, it legitimizes those folks to come on out. Come out front of the rocks. I hadn't planned on running for anything again after my son had died. And I was a professor at a college and running another program at another college. Until I saw those people coming out of Charlottesville carrying torches, literally torches coming out of the fields. Close your eyes, remember what you saw on television. Their veins bulging, their hate-filled speech, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile that was chanted in the streets of Germany in the 30s. And on top of that, accompanied by white supremacists, Ku Klux Klan, young woman was killed protesting those folks. And the president of the United States was asked, what do you think? And he said, quote, something no president's ever, ever said. He said, there are very fine people on both sides.
That's just a lie, the way he presents it. The president then went on to say he's not talking about the white supremacists. He was talking about the people who are opposed to and in favor of removing the Lee statue. It's just a lie. I don't understand how people can repeat that lie. It's a canard. I've brought it up on Al Sharpton's show before. I brought it up repeatedly, and people say, well, what's going on here? And I said, it's just a lie. It's a lie. The president condemned the white supremacists. He said there were fine people on both sides of the debate about the statue. Cut number six, by the way, this is a questioner of Joe Biden. I want you to know, this is, don't fall for this on the internet. Cut number six.
The leadership and strength to restore faith and healing in this country, we're going to appreciate you very much. We're going to continue the community conversations, because I'm sure you have more to hear from our community. Portia, would you like to come forward and lead us in the next round of conversation, please?
Now she walks up. I'll play this after the break. And starts to read a question. Then she says, I can't read it. This was given to me. It was not given to her by the Biden staff. It was given to her by an organization in Kenosha. There's a fraud going around the internet that the Biden staff gave it to her. Don't fall for that. Just listen to me. I'll get you the facts on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Country's ready. And if they're not, it doesn't matter, because there are certain things I ain't going to change. There are certain things worth losing over. And this is something worth losing over if we have to, but we're not going to lose.
We're not going to lose, Sonny Bunch. There's some things worth losing over. Going to the movie theaters is one of the things Sonny Bunch is going to make his stand on. He's back from the bulwark. Sonny Bunch, follow him on Twitter. Good morning, Sonny. How are you?
I'm good, Hugh. How are you?
Good. That's Joe Biden saying there's some things worth losing over. You're going back to the movies, right?
I have already been back to the movies, Hugh. I'm excited to say that I've been back to the movie theater. They're opening up around the country. We got theaters opening up in New Jersey this weekend. We got theaters opening up in Maryland.
You went to the Alamo Suds House or whatever they call that. Have you been more than once?
Yeah, so I went to the Draft House to see Unhinged. I went to a Studio Movie Grill, which is another kind of Draft House type place, to see The New Mutants. That's pretty skippable. You can skip The New Mutants. Nobody needs to go see that. And then I saw Tenet on a big IMAX screen. Here in Dallas. So it is
the long awaited, much postponed. Well, you tell us about the film and who made it and all that stuff.
Yeah, so Tenet is the latest movie from Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, of course, is the director of the Dark Knight trilogy, Interstellar, and Inception, The Prestige, Dunkirk, all sorts of great big movies. He's a big believer in the theatrical experience, big believer in film as opposed to digital. You know, he believes in the idea of gathering in a darkened room with strangers and watching movies, and specifically doing so on film. He is back with Tenet, and you know he has been pushing for the theatrical release of Tenet this whole pandemic. You know, he's wanted to get this movie in theaters, get people out to the theaters, get people back on the big screen. I have to say, if you are looking for an excuse to go back to theaters, Tenet is the movie to do it for. It is a big, bold blockbuster type movie. It is, you know, the special effects are big. The action set pieces are huge. The acting is very solid and good and fun. I strongly recommend seeing this in a theater when you're ready to go back to theaters, when you've got your N95 mask and you want to sit down with some other people. And we could talk about the safety situation here in a minute. There was an interesting piece in The Atlantic, kind of addressing some of this, a little bit earlier in the week, but we can talk about that in a minute. I just want to talk about this movie because I really enjoyed it, even if it is extremely convoluted, Hugh. It's a time travel movie. You know how
those
time
those are hard. Those can be hard.
You run into the paradoxes. You get the grandfather paradox. We go back in time and we kill somebody. Does it affect their behavior here in the present? You know, there's all sorts of tricky little things like that. And this movie is very, very complicated. I'm not even going to discuss the plot here with everyone, except to say that it stars John David Washington as a CIA operative who, after a failed exfiltration of an agent from a Russian opera house, is brought into the world of the secretive world of Tenet. It's a secretive cabal of people who are trying to stop a destructive event that involves people from the future sending back, I don't know how to describe it exactly, sending back pieces of a device that will bring about the end of the world, possibly, or possibly it will save the world. Who can say? But this movie, so the hook of this movie, the idea of this movie, the crux of this movie is the ability to move backwards in time, but not in the sense of Back to the Future where you take a car and you show up in the back, the past and you're there. You essentially literally move backwards through time. You are reversing the flow of entropy. You are experiencing time going backwards. And there are a couple of great sequences in the movie where people are going backwards in time while other people are going forwards in time. It's hard to explain. You just kind of have to experience it. And I strongly recommend seeing it and experiencing it on the biggest, loudest screen possible.
I'm looking at my local theater where it's available with the CDM. The seating is at 40% capacity or less, and it's digital.
Yeah. So, that is not, it's not, unless it says IMAX or, you know, maybe Dolby Atmos or something like that, you know, that's going to be a regular movie screen. And that's fine. That's a good way to see it, too. I'm not gonna.
But you prefer Dolby? You think Dolby ought to be the way?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go see it, if you have the ability to see it on an IMAX screen, or like a Dolby Atmos or the premium large format screen is how I would recommend seeing this. If you're gonna make the trip to the theater, if you're gonna you know, put your life in your hands, as they say, by going out. Sitting in a darkened room with other people, maybe it's a good way to do it.
Well, I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. What did The Atlantic say?
Understandable. So, as I said, there was a piece in The Atlantic earlier this week about what is actually dangerous, what is actually, you know, kind of more risky for people, right? And the conclusion of this piece was essentially, look, it's not so much sitting in a room that is enclosed and not well ventilated and, you know, uses recirculated air and all that. It is what you're doing there. So the suggestion here was, if you are sitting silently while doing something, you are at much less risk of infecting others and at much less risk of getting infected than if you are somewhere where you're exhaling greatly or you're shouting or you're singing or you're talking loudly, right? The difference between talking loudly and sitting silently was the difference between wearing a mask and not wearing a mask. So if you're in a theater where everyone is wearing a mask and everyone is socially distanced, and people aren't, you know, shouting at the screen, you are basically, I mean, the risk to you is very, very limited. I won't say it's nil. I'm not going to say it's zero. I'm not saying that you can't catch COVID-19 if you go to a theater where there are other people and everyone is wearing a mask and nobody is shouting at the screen. But it is the risk of infection is much, much lower. People just, you just aren't shedding the disease, as they say.
You know, The Rock doesn't want anyone to go out. The Rock came out and said it was nasty and horrible, and he was very careful, but he had some friends come in. So you really are depending on everyone else in the theater.
You are depending on everyone else in the theater. And look, this is, you know, as I said, I've been to the theater a couple of times now, and the first two times I went, one of my big criterions on whether or not I was going to go was just kind of looking at the theater and seeing how many people were in it. And I, the first couple of times I went, you know, I went into probably a 50-seat auditorium, and there were 10 people there. So it was probably 20% full. Second time I went to a 200-seat auditorium, and there were maybe 7 people there. So it was less than 5% full. And everybody's all spread out, and, you know, even then you're still basically relying on people to wear a mask and to kind of be good citizens about it. And frankly, my faith in people is low, as you know, Hugh. I'm not a believer in the common man's ability to do what is good and right for everyone else. But, you know, I'll be honest. I was pretty impressed by mask usage in both of those first couple of situations. You know, the IMAX theater, I didn't get as good a look at how many people, what percentage were wearing masks and what weren't. And, you know, it was a little more full. So if I catch it, it's what happens, right? I don't know. We'll see.
So you have a new podcast out. What's that about? I just tweeted the link to it.
Yeah, The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. So I basically am just interviewing people about aspects of the movie industry and the business of the movie industry that I find interesting and that I think other people will find interesting. So this week I talked to a casting director about casting movies in the age of coronavirus, right? People are still casting up movies. They're still trying to get things ready for production. But obviously you don't have 10 people sitting in a waiting room so they can come in and talk face-to-face with casting directors, right? People are sending in their tapes. They're sending in recordings of themselves. They're trying to figure things out that way. You know, it's a very different time. And the business of casting big names is also different, right? It used to be, you would have these pay-to-play situations where you would make somebody an offering and say, all right, we're going to pay you, you know, $500,000, whether or not we make the movie. And that kind of starts the clock on, like, getting the movie made, right? It just changes. But now nobody makes deals like that anymore because it's nobody knows exactly when filming is going to start again.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's a little bit strange. You know, I talked to a guy who ran the analytics department for the Alamo Draft House, talking about how smaller theaters, choose what to show and what screens to show them on and how to balance, which audiences are going to order food with which audiences aren't going to order food. It was really kind of an interesting behind the scenes glimpse at how booking happens at theaters and that sort of thing. I don't know. It's a niche topic for sure, but it's I think
that's interesting.
It's pretty interesting.
And I linked it. Sonny Goes to the Movies, The Bulwark Goes to the Movies podcast, linked it at my Twitter account. Sonny, always a pleasure. Thank you. Stay healthy as you go to the movies. You can tell me about him, and I'll just store him up. And Tarzana Joe is a wonderful way to begin your week. He's next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Joined now by Tarzana Joe, poet laureate of The Hugh Hewitt Show, as is regular time, as the appointed hour has arrived. Hello, Joe.
Oh, my appointed hour. Better get going. It's a big week for poetry. Well, at least for this poet. You, I wrote my first campaign song.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. For whom?
For Linda Blankenship, who's running for the California State Senate in the 39th District. That's near San Diego. Linda for CA39.com.
Go, Linda.
And yes. And it starts like this. I'll just give you a taste, and you can go to the website and see the rest of the lyric. Her theme is Make California Golden Again. So it's, we who love our golden state, we all remember when California used to shine, it could be gold again. Okay, so that's the name of the song. Go look at it. And then I have another, you know, a normal Joe Tarzan.
Well, I go Linda Blankenship. I love that. Okay, what's the normal poem?
Okay, there's a lot that went on, but and a lot to make fun of, but I think it's time for a more positive poem, so let's see what we get. This is a time for kindness, for courtesy, comfort, and care. Faced with a moment of crisis, have patience, show mercy, forbear. Find a good cause and contribute your presence as well as your wealth. You see, it enhances your outlook, and what's even better, your health. When living, live with vigor. When giving, give your all. Remember what those Romans learned from chapter 12 by Paul. If the gift you've been given is teaching, decide on a way you can teach. If the talent you have is for service, serve widely to all you can reach. If time is the gift you've been granted, there's nothing so precious as time. And if you've been given a poet's voice, get out there and make something rhyme.
Yeah.
And if I've learned only one lesson from those days when I studied the bard, tearing things down is easy. Building things up is hard. That's Kindness by Tarzana Joe.
Well said, and a sentiment much needed, Joe. You telegraphed the last line there. I saw hard coming up. But it was. Will that be posted at TarzanaJoe.com?
But of course.
Where can we hear the Linda Blankenship campaign tune?
Okay, you can go to Linda 4, that's the number 4, CA39, that's the district, Linda4CA39.com.
A double dose of Joe. That's like two cups of coffee in the morning. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
I have known Linda forever. Small business owner, mother, campaign consultant. She's been around San Diego politics forever. I've just known Linda forever. I didn't know that she had done this, but I have posted a link over on my Twitter account to Linda, the number 4, CA39. So it's Linda, the number 4. And Joe's poem is terrific for her. I want to go back. Here is the Kenosha church speaker. Play the full clip for us. Cut number 6.
The leadership and strength to restore faith and healing in this country. We're going to appreciate you very much. We're going to continue the community conversations because I'm sure you have more to hear from our community. Portia, would you like to come forward and lead us in the next round of conversation, please?
County Governor's bragging about you.
Hello, my name is Portia Bennett. I'm just going to be honest, Mr. Biden. I was told to go off this paper, but I can't. You need the truth. And now I'm part of the truth. I was born here, raised here, first 8th grade class of the school that was named after his mother. So I have to give you the truth of the people. And the truth of the matter is we are heavily angry. Not angry as to where people say, oh, they're protesting. There's a difference between a protester and a rioter. A very big difference. We protest to get our voices heard. We protest to show that not just blacks are tired of what's going on. As you can see, there are blacks, whites, Muslims, Chinese, Hispanic that are out there. Hello, my
So I want you to know, I want you to know, she, a right-winger went out and clipped it and then said Joe Biden's campaign gave her her question. That's not true. She had been given a suggested question by an activist organization that she's an activist. She didn't want to read the question, so she gave it in her own voice. But she was not being manipulated by the Biden campaign. See, I'll tell you the truth. I'll also tell you the truth that Joe was not so good yesterday. Cut number 80 repeated the Charlottesville lie again. Cut number 8.
The President of the United States was asked, he was asked, what do you think? And he said, quote, something no president's ever, ever said. He said, there are very fine people on both sides. No president has ever said anything like that.
That is not true. Honestly, really, people, go look it up. He said, there are fine people on both sides, referring to the statue debate. And then he went on in the same breath and specifically said, I am not talking about the white supremacists. So honestly, when they do that, you know they're just lying to you. And Joe Biden was lying yesterday when he could get his breath. That was a pretty bad day for Joe. I'll play him more when we come back. Plus, the Secretary of State of the United States, Michael Pompeo, is up next hour. Don't go anywhere, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show Friday edition. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.